Today on Maine Calling, who is moving to Maine and why? About 5 years ago, more and more people started moving to Maine. At first, it seemed people might be coming to live here temporarily during the pandemic. But then it became clear that something else was going on. People were deliberately choosing Maine over other states and coming here with the intention of staying. Thousands and thousands of them. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we ask, why? And if you're one of those who has come here in the past 5 years, what do you think of Maine so far? Is it the lifestyle you expected? Is it better or worse? We'll find out which counties people are choosing, what their demographics are, and whether they're helping to fill all those jobs employers have open. Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling is made possible by contributing listeners and support from Rennie's, a Maine shopping adventure throughout Maine, now open in Bangor, Waterville, and Augusta. And by Maine Seacoast Mission, delivering healthcare, education, and support to islands and coastal downeast communities. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. For decades, Mainers worried about all the people, especially young people, who were leaving Maine and not coming back. But in the past 5 years, something shifted. And now people are leaving other places to move to Maine by the tens of thousands. Today, we'll learn who has been moving to Maine in recent years and what brings them here. My guest for the hour, Phoenix McLaughlin, who is Director of Strategy Implementation for Maine's Department of Economic and Community Development. Shannon Richards, who is Board President for the Maine Real Estate Developers Association, or MRIDA. And Katie Shorey, who is Director of Engagement for Live and Work in Maine. We invite you to join the conversation if you moved here from elsewhere in the country. Why did you pick Maine? And what have you liked or not liked about living in Maine so far? Send us a brief email, talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. We're going to start by getting a big picture look at the trends we're seeing statewide. And on the line with us now is Denise St. Peter, who is economic analyst with the Office of the State Economist and leads the Maine State Data Center. Thanks for calling in, Denise.
Hi, good morning.
So what does the data show us about the past 5 years in Maine? What do we know about how many people are moving here?
Yeah, so we get estimates of net migration to Maine from the U.S. Census Bureau's Population Estimates Program. Most recently, in 2024, we know that Maine had a gain of around 5,300 people to the state from domestic migration, so from other U.S. states, and about 5,200 people from international migration. This is a considerable amount for a small state. Maine ranked about 11th in the country for its rate of domestic migration in 2024. Now, that said, that's a slowdown from what we've seen in recent years, and particularly compared to what we were seeing immediately following the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic. So in 2021, we were seeing levels, you know, multiple times this. So we're seeing less than that, especially on the domestic front, but still high relative to the country and to Maine's recent history.
But it all adds up, right, Denise? I saw an estimate looking at the number of people getting driver's licenses from other state, which I know is imperfect, but it was estimating something like 126,000 people over the past 5 years. Is that in line with what the census data is showing us?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at the total population for the Census Bureau data, so that includes more than just driver's license registrations, of course, but certainly when you look at cumulative over time, you know, we're looking at net migration, so you know, you're adding several tens of thousands in 2021, and then you're going to 2022. And so certainly we're seeing a little bit of a slowdown, but still high, and certainly cumulatively over that period, quite a few people.
Any trends you've noticed among those numbers? Are there people coming from a specific area, or are they Do they fit a certain demographic or not really?
Yeah, that's a great question. So in addition to numbers of people moving to the state, we can also use census data to look at characteristics of people moving here. And we get some information as well about where they might be coming from and moving to. So one of the things that we notice is that people who are moving to the state, on average, are younger than Maine's overall population. Maine is the oldest state in the country, but it's also the only state that hasn't seen an increase in its median age since 2020. And this is due in part to that relatively younger age of people moving to the state. And among those 25 and older, at least, people moving to the state also appear to have higher levels of educational attainment than the overall population. So more likely to have a bachelor's degree or a graduate degree than the general population. And we also get an interesting sense of where people are moving to. And that's sort of shifted over the last 5 years. So right after the pandemic in 2021 and 2022, we were seeing really high levels of net migration to many of Maine's most rural counties, so counties like Piscataquis, Oxford, Franklin. In the past few years, this has actually shifted back to higher population growth in the southern part of the state, like Cumberland and York. But it's really notable that all counties in Maine had positive net migration in 2024. So all of our counties had more people moving into the county than moving out.
Denise, thank you so much. So interesting. That was Denise St. John, who is an analyst with the Maine Office of the State Economy. I'm going to turn to you now, Phoenix, because you have asked the question, or your organization has asked the question, why? Tell us about the survey you recently did, and then we'll look at some of the highlights.
Absolutely. So this came out of the context of Maine's economic development strategy. Which when that was coming together in 2019, there was this big question of how can the state attract more people into the state and into the workforce because of our demographics? We knew that was going to be a big need. And so that strategy was published in December of 2019. And as we know, a few months later, everything changed quite a bit. So in 2019, the question was really, how do we get more people to move here? And then fast forward to 2023, the question was, why did so many people just move here and what are they up to now that they're here? And so we did commission this survey and this report from Wallace Economic Advisors, and they did this work for us. And they did some impressive work. So they, as you were referencing earlier, they looked at people who filed for a reciprocal driver's license. So if you move state to state, you can file to say, hey, I'm already licensed to drive, so let's just transfer it here. So they surveyed people who had done that in Maine, and it was many tens of thousands of people who had done that. And they got a pretty strong response for something like this. I heard back from over 2,500 people. And there are a lot of, you know, interesting tidbits in there. In terms of that question of why did they move? Actually, number one pretty strongly was interest in the outdoors. They were looking for those outdoor amenities that our beautiful state has to offer. And number two after that was social connections. And everybody, almost everybody who answered the survey, at least, they had some previous connection to the state. They had family here, they grew up here, or maybe they just vacationed here. But those were pretty strong in the lead in terms of those reasons why.
And Phoenix, one of the many things I thought was so interesting about the survey is that so many people, the number one connection to Maine was that they had taken a vacation here or visited here. And that's so interesting to me because that shows sort of that I think we think about tourism to Maine on one level as people coming here and staying hotels and eating in restaurants or something like that. But really, on another level, people coming here on vacation is maybe the first step to them moving to Maine completely.
That is certainly how it played out for many of the folks who we heard from. And yeah, I mean, millions of people visit the state every year. I'm always surprised when I'm reminded how many people it is. And If you're only peeling off a relatively small percentage of those folks who come and they love it and they come again, they love it even more, and eventually they decide to move for good. I mean, that adds up. That adds up to a large number of people.
All right. Well, Katie, live and work in Maine, the organization that you helped found and run, you are really trying to help Maine employers fill up all these jobs that are available in so many industries, whether it's manufacturing or healthcare or teaching, and the list goes on and on. How many of these people coming to Maine are filling those jobs, or how many people are coming with a job they already have and working remotely?
It's such an interesting question because anecdotally, we are seeing people who either moved to Maine because they accepted a job that required relocation. So that is why we're seeing a bunch of people move to Maine. In addition to also what Phoenix said, better quality of life. We've also heard people wanting to be closer to family or the hopes that they will relocate, maybe their parents with them. But we've also seen a lot of people that move to Maine that have a remote job, which, to your point, Jennifer, that does not help our main employers. We need people who are going to work for our main companies. And we are seeing typically out of at least, let's say, a couple that has moved to Maine, one person tends to work for a main employer eventually. So I think recruiting remote workers to move to Maine is one talent attraction strategy, and then eventually we would like to see them end up and work at a Maine company. But we need people to work in person in healthcare facilities and manufacturing, life science. So it's definitely a big push of ours to make sure that people know what kinds of jobs that we have in the state.
And Katie, one thing that was really interesting to me in the survey that the Economic Development Organization did was that even though something like, and I'm trying to remember the numbers off the top of my head, 65% of people had vacationed to Maine, only about a quarter of the people are the people that you've focused on so much, the boomerang, the people who grew up in Maine, moved away, and came back. And do you think 25% is a good number, or you want to see that even higher?
As a boomerang myself, I grew up in Sweden, Maine, out near Freiburg, left for college and then Washington, D.C. It's definitely a target market of ours. I would love to see that number grow because it's the people that grew up here that are passionate about Maine. But we need new people as well. Even if we were to attract all the boomerangs back, we still need net new people. So I think it's good for the state to have both of those, people who grew up here, maybe went to college here. We don't want to lose them, but we also want to get new people with a new passion for Maine and skills that we can be added to the workforce.
All right, Shannon, I'm going to turn to you because many of the people over a certain age, I learned from the survey, over a certain age have bought homes. Younger people, right, Phoenix, are renting. If you look at the demographic information, older folks are buying homes. What are you noticing about people buying homes here in Maine that are coming from other states? Do they think Maine is expensive? Do they think Maine is a good value compared to where they've come from?
It's a great question. And, back in I would say maybe 20 years ago or 15 years ago, when somebody would come to Maine and want to build their forever home, retire here, a lot of times they had come here as a young person and gone to camp and had that romantic attachment to Maine. And then they've dreamed about it and saved. And they would come and they would think that if they had $250,000, they could buy anything in the state of Maine. They could build anything. And it was like, I used to say to people, like, okay, we're going to crush some dreams and then I'm going to give you a big hug and we're going to figure out how to get through this. But the fact is, it's expensive to buy and build here. The infrastructure in the state is, the amenities are in chosen along the coast, Portland and the other cities. Today, flash forward, there's the lack of inventory is exacerbated by this move of all these people that want to come here from the post-pandemic, and it's just not getting any easier. And the interest rates are a contributing factor, the aging housing stock, the lack of people to actually build new products or new homes, and then getting them to pencil. There's just a myriad of issues that we're dealing with right now.
Do you think that that perhaps is the reason what Denise St. Peter was saying at the top of the program that we saw, we're still seeing people move here, but in smaller numbers? Do you think it's because, Shannon, that it's not that they don't want to come, that there just are not places for them to live?
Absolutely. I have, you know, being part of MRDA, the Maine Real Estate Development Association, we have a number of employers are a part of our group. And I mean, the stories, the anecdotal stories about, oh, we've hired somebody, we can't find them a place, they're going to take another job if we can't find them a home.
Yeah. Katie, you're nodding. This is what you're hearing?
Absolutely. I think it's really important to note that supply is the issue. It's not, oh, we have too many people moving to Maine, we just haven't built enough. So I think attracting more people is a critical part of the solution. We need those skilled tradespeople, builders, electricians, plumbers, to create the new housing that will ultimately make prices more stable for everyone. So I just wanted to make sure we differentiate between supply as is the issue.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a catch-22, though, because you need people to come to build. They have to be able to live here. I own a company that designs and builds homes. This is the part of my daily discussion. It's like, there's a gentleman who wants to move here from DC. He asked me to help him find a place to live here so that he can come here and work for me.
In your own company. And we mm-hmm. have, we're in the second year of doing an entire series in Maine on the affordable housing crisis, and everything intersects. But we want to go to Chuck, who's calling from Westbrook. Hi, Chuck. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. My name is Chuck Roundy. I was the project director for the original Commission on Maine's Future, which was established in 1975, a half century ago, by Governor Longley. And it's interesting, the topic you have today, the Commission on Maine's Future, it was me as the director and 40 very prominent people of Maine, was appointed to track out a future for Maine over the next quarter century up through 2000. We studied through the assistance of a Dr. Lewis Plock of the University of Maine. He was a sociologist. We studied immigration from 1965 to 1975, and our primary source, this was 50 years ago, and information sources were less, was we took driver license of all incoming people. We got their driver's license from the states that they had come from, and Lou Plock of the University of Maine conducted a survey. And there were several interesting findings of that, but I will now shut up and let you ask me questions if you wish.
Well, Chuck, it's interesting. What did you find? Between 65 and 75, were people moving here or were they moving out?
We had they called it a new immigration, a wave of people moving into Maine. Many of them were young, very young. They brought entrepreneurial skills. They were called the Back to the Land group. They bought up old farms and restored the houses and started farming again in places that had ceased to farm. I know of three such farms right up in the St. Albans, Newport, Palmyra area. In fact, one of my family members was one of these Back to the Landers. They brought some money and skills like potter skills, blacksmithing skills, those kinds of things. So they weren't so much filling new jobs as you're looking for now. They were filling up traditional jobs, and the return of the land movement, which was only part of the immigration. It was bigger than just the return of the land or back to the land. They really, I know of farms in Troy, Maine, and Unity, Maine, and Palmyra, Maine, and St. Albans, Maine, that whole area up around Newport, that basically bought up old farms for about $30,000 each with maybe 60 acres attached.
Yep.
An old farmhouse, and they renovated it, and that was a very important movement at that time.
Yeah, and Chuck, it did help define the character of Maine and how people thought of Maine afterwards. And Phoenix, I'm wondering in the survey that you have done, if you're seeing anything like that, not necessarily, and I do know that there are young farmers today, but are there any trends that you see that you think will define what makes up the character of Maine for the next 25, 50 years?
That is a big question. I'm not sure there's anything quite of the same cohesiveness, maybe, as the Back to the Land movement, or at least that's how it seems in retrospect. But I do think this element of remote work really does change the landscape a fair amount. And I think it was Katie who was referencing this as well, but that was another thing that came up in the survey. And it is a little more than half of the people who moved who were working are working for a Maine employer, but then it's 40-something percent who are working remotely, who are covered in the survey. So, you know, that changes the dynamic, that changes some of the local economic role, and it might change some of the industries that Maine is represented in terms of employment, and it might change in terms of what those folks go on to do while they're here in Maine, if they do start a business or they do start working for a local Maine employer in a different way. So it's a little more dispersed. I don't know if there's been a big new farming movement of the folks moving here. I don't have that sense, but there might be some of that. But I think it's maybe a little more varied.
Well, Chuck, thank you so much for calling in. I do want to ask, especially you, Phoenix, but also Katie, where people are coming from. But we do need to go to a break, and we're going to hear from some of you who have moved to Maine in the last 5 years. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today we are talking about all the people who are moving to Maine. And we're going to hear from some of you. Joining me for this hour, Shannon Richards, who is board president for the Maine Real Estate Developers Association, or MRIDA. She is also the founder of Hay Runners, a company that provides services for homeowners. Katie Shorey is director of engagement with Live and Work in Maine. And Phoenix McLaughlin is director of strategy implementation with the Maine Department of Economic and Community Development. We invite you to join the conversation. Send us a brief email, talk@mainepublic.org, comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Calling in now is Steve Pinnell. He and his wife moved to Maine in 2020. Thanks for joining us, Steve.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So you were right at the beginning of this trend. Where were you living before you moved here, and what sparked your interest in moving to Maine?
We were living in southern New Hampshire, working in Massachusetts. And I have to thank the late Professor Clayton Dodge from UMaine Math Department. He, for many years, organized summer math workshops. I attended one of them, and on the schedule was an outing to Acadia National Park, which I had never seen before, and was just awestruck by how beautiful it was. And my wife and I came back on vacation, and she loved it too, and we just started coming here for vacation and never wanted to go home when it was time to go home. And then we decided, well, if we lived here, we wouldn't have to go home. So that's what we did.
That's so interesting, because that's what Phoenix's survey showed. So many people came to Maine on vacation and caught the bug. I'm wondering, now that you've lived here for 5 years, what's the verdict?
We love it. It's just such a beautiful place. As you had talked about on a recent show, the light here is just something special. The night sky is spectacular. It's just so beautiful, and we're very happy we moved, and we love it here.
And how have you found others to be? How are people in Bar Harbor, your neighbors? Are people welcoming?
Yes, we have great neighbors. We found a friend in the Harbor Barber in Southwest Harbor. She's not only a great barber, but also a wealth of information about great places to go and restaurants and just all kinds of information. And we've found people very friendly and welcoming.
Well, wonderful. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing your story. That's Steve Pinnell. He and his wife, Melissa, are living in Bar Harbor and are now retired. So thank you. We heard Phoenix, he said, from Southern New Hampshire. He came from Southern New Hampshire. Southern New Hampshire, where did your survey show most people are coming from? Or is there a place where most people are coming from?
Well, there wasn't one state that everyone was coming from predominantly. I think Massachusetts was number one. Certainly a lot of representation from the Northeast, New York, and places like that. But also California, Florida, Arizona, kind of all over the map. But I would say predominantly the Northeast.
All right. And Katie, what about you? The folks who you are talking to, are there particular regions of the country that people are coming from?
Our job board data is showing similar. Massachusetts, New York, Florida, Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Texas. These folks are living in these states and making job seeker accounts. So we were able to see where they're currently living. And I just really quick also want to add an anecdote of I've been spending a lot of time on college campuses. So from Bowdoin to UMaine, UNE, USM, and chatting with these young people, the tune I heard years ago, they were excited to leave the state. And the more and more I talk to these young people, they're telling me that they want to stay. So that from, and they're from all, a lot of them are from Maine, but a lot of them are also from out of state. So I think that that's a really bright spot. And of course, I'm always there to plug the student loan tax credit. That's something that's very unique that Maine has, but it's giving me hope that our young people do want to stay in Maine. So,
all right. And Shannon, what about you? What trends are you seeing?
I think that's really interesting that what Katie just pointed out. I think it has to do with the economy, because I think when I was coming out of high school in 1995, there were no jobs. And when I came out of college, there were no jobs. So you kind of gravitated towards urban living. But now, as everybody's pointed out, like endless jobs. Anybody, my son is a dishwasher here at a restaurant in Portland, and he makes $18.50 an hour as a high schooler. I'm like, put that in the bank, kiddo. He doesn't want to go anywhere. You know what I mean? This is a great place to live. And if you can find work and you have a great community, as our last caller said, like, it's a winning combo.
Here's an email from Mike. My family and I relocated in Maine in mid-2023 from Tucson, Arizona, for several reasons. Foremost, Maine's climate future is much brighter than Arizona's, especially with respect to water supply. It helped immensely that both my wife and I telecommute. We also appreciate the lower crime rate across the board and the much better schools in Maine. We were able to sell a house in Tucson and cover two-thirds of the price of our older 1970s Maine home with sufficient funds to cover the usual expenses of upgrading some neglected maintenance issues. Thank you so much, Mike. So from Tucson, Arizona, and there are a couple themes in there that I know you asked questions about, Phoenix. One is, of course, the telecommuting, but also climate. How many people coming to Maine are climate migrants who are worried about the future where they're living currently or where they were living?
Yeah, that is a piece of it. And I think, the survey was asking more immediately, what was compelling your interest to move now? And there were a number of people who did express that, as well as the community safety aspect as well. I should have mentioned that earlier. That was number three. I think that starts to get to this point where, for some of these points, it's really unique person to person. I mean, coming from Arizona, concerned about water issues, that makes a little more sense, right? As kind of climate being one of the multiple driving interest for moving here. But that'll be a little different from someone coming from Massachusetts, which is also a number of the people who've moved. So I think it's definitely starting to show up. And depending on what part of the country people are moving from, it's an area of interest. And Maine, relative to the Southwest or California or Florida, we do have a pretty big advantage, in my opinion, that we're not very prone to natural disasters. Water, when we do, we're in a drought right now, and that is a problem. But if people don't mind me saying this, it's not as extreme as the water issues that you see in other parts of the country. So it is all relative in that respect. And yeah, so it's, I think, potentially something we'll see more of and starting to show up now, just not yet the predominant thing we heard.
Here's an email from Sam. I'm a former summer resident of Southwest Harbor. I moved to Bangor from New York City during COVID and kept my job as CTO for a surgical practice in New York and New Jersey. It's been about 5 years, and I love Bangor. They'll have to carry me out. Learn to work very effectively remotely, travel maybe once each month or 2 months to visit the office. Always loved this area in the summer. Now I love it in the winter also. After 5 years here, I've developed a deep affection for the culture and people here in the Bangor area, and I have no regrets. I love it here, and I can't ever imagine living in New York again. My only real issue, while I feel fortunate to be able to live here and keep my job from New York, I wish I could work with more local people. Everyone I work with is pretty far away, and it is a bit lonely sometimes. So there you're hearing a telecommuter talk about the fact that it isn't the same. And Katie, you're nodding. How do you advise that Sam and others who are making this shift work on that or improve that?
Community building is such a big piece of helping retain our new community members. We want people to find their people so they find friends and that they're plugged in. So for someone like him in Bangor, he's a CTO. Okay, he's orbiting the tech scene. I would love for him to know it's actually happening tomorrow. Bangor Blitz is a conference in Bangor focused on the startup and tech scene. So that would be a great opportunity for him to plug in and get to know the startup and entrepreneurship culture. We see that with Startup Maine. There's a great Slack group called Nexus Maine that we're affiliated with that is really focused on bringing remote workers, remote tech workers together so that they can really build a network and build community if they find themselves feeling lonely or being a remote worker. So there's so many resources like that across the state. Live and Work in Maine hosts events. And so I would love for them to look to Live and Work in Maine as a resource for finding community. So we're happy to post more about that.
I'll go to Bruce, who's calling from Booth Bay Harbor. Hi, Bruce. Go ahead.
Hi. I was calling just to say that I've sold real estate in the Booth Bay Harbor area for, I hate to admit it, 50 years. But in any event, the people that I've dealt with are first home buyers all the way to retirees. And my comment is about the retirees in the sense that many of these retirees that come to Maine want to get involved, and they do in various organizations. And on our peninsula, we have the Botanical Gardens and a big land trust and Bigelow Lab, et cetera. And a lot of these folks volunteer, and they add a lot to the various organizations, and they bring their skills with them. That's also very helpful. That's all I had to say.
Bruce, thank you. Shannon, I'll turn to you on that. Do you find that people, when they move here, it's not just to look at a pretty view, but to be involved in their new community?
Absolutely. I love it when I meet people who want to get involved and engaged. I built a house for a woman, or designed a house for a woman, and she and I became friends. She's now on the Maine Crafts Association Board of Directors with me, which supports craft artists and entrepreneurs here in Maine. And there's a number of other people that just kind of, you know, if you meet them at the onset, they're always, you know, okay, now I'm here, I'm new, I've been here only in summers, and now I'm looking for something, you know, more substantial. And it's, we have it, we have a need, there's a call to action. So,
Phoenix.
Yeah, I was just going to say that was another piece addressed in that survey. Ryan Wallace's incredibly thorough in terms of what he asked. And almost everybody who took it did report some level of community involvement, volunteering or something like that. And that is pretty crucial. I mean, as discussed, you know, a lot of the context for this is a need for more people in our workforce. And found a little over a third of the folks who moved were retired. So not necessarily participating in the workforce directly, but there is a huge role to fill in terms of that community support, volunteerism, and that type of thing to build up the community.
Bruce, thank you so much for calling in. We'll go to Elliot, who's calling from Buxton. Hi, Elliot. Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, my wife and I moved here in 2022 because we did a cost-benefit ratio of what we wanted out of a place to raise kids, you know, Four Seasons. And but one of the things that really caught us was the culture here in Maine. It seems like there's deep roots. And coming from California, it's a very nomadic culture. A lot of people move there. They have no interest in contributing to their community. And they priced people out. They priced the locals out. And ultimately, that's what happened to us. And we had to leave. So it's been a tremendous experience. We absolutely love our neighbors, love being part of the community, and really enjoying watching our two kids under 2 years old just taking the state in and being able to claim that they're Mainers because they were born here.
So they're little. You moved here in 2022, and I was going to follow up by asking you, Elliot, if Maine is everything you hoped it would be, but it sounds like yes.
Absolutely. I think more houses for young folks trying to start families can afford would be tremendous. Vacation homes are great, but you know, for those of us really looking to plant roots and be part of a community, I think there's a lot of opportunity for growth only in that department. Everything else, tremendous, especially the people. Can't overstate that.
Shannon, thank you very much, Elliot. Shannon Richards.
Elliot, I agree. And it's very hard right now to build the, we're calling it the missing middle. You know, the high-end homes pencil out, the lower-end subsidized multifamily housing, it pencils due to subsidies, but that middle ground. And, you know, right now on a national, it's near records across the country, the price to income ratio. So incomes are not pacing at the same as the cost of land and the cost of construction. And that's really what we're seeing. So we're, you know, anybody involved in housing right now is trying to unlock that.
We have so many calls coming in. I have to go to a break, but we're going to hear from more of you who've moved to Maine recently. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. The past 5 years have been a time of growth for Maine, more people moving here for all different reasons. Today, we are hearing from some of them. And joining me, Katie Shorey with the organization Live and Work in Maine, Phoenix McLaughlin with Maine's Department of Economic and Community Development, and Shannon Richards, who is a real estate agent and works with the larger organization, Merida. Share your comments and questions. Email us if you're quick, talk@mainepublic.org. And you can try to get through at 1-800-399-3566. On the line now, Sarah Smith, who has a pretty good story about moving to Maine. Thanks for calling in, Sarah. Tell us, where were you living before Maine, and what was the path that led to your move?
Hi, thank you. I was living in Charlotte, North Carolina for about 5 years, and originally from Connecticut, so I felt over time I wanted to move back to New England. And then I tried some other places, didn't feel like the various cities I tried were invested in their future and their community. And I had been to Portland twice, and something in my gut told me Portland was the right spot. I was aligned with Maine's values and really wanted to be surrounded by nature. So I moved up here about 3 years ago and didn't know anyone or have a job, and I landed a job working as a cheesemonger, actually, at Sissel and Daughters, which used to be the cheese shop right in Portland, and it was a great landing spot for me.
Wow. So you met people just because you had a public facing job.
Yes. Yep, I did. And it was great to be in the overall food and bev community in Portland because they are very tight knit. So I became friends with my coworkers and donors and then was able to meet people from there.
Yeah. And it sounds like you're talking about that in the past tense, like you're doing something else now.
Yes. Yep. I shifted into a remote role after about a year there, just because my background is more in strategy consulting and startup work. But I actually met Katie at some point, and I'm on the Startup Maine board as board chair. So I'm able to do work locally, which means a lot to me.
All right. Well, what advice do you have for others considering a move here?
Oh, good question. I would say get involved. Find an organization or an activity that you love and go to those events. I think people here are very warm and welcoming. And there's so many great things to do here, and it worked for me. So I would say find what you care about, and I'm sure you'll meet people from there.
All right. Well, Sarah, thanks so much for calling in. Sarah Smith now lives in Portland. Let's see. I will go to Mark, who is calling from Lovell. This is Mark Williams. Thanks for giving us a call.
Sure. It's good to be in Maine. We feel really privileged to be here at Lovell.
I love your accent. I hear you moved here from Kentucky. Why did you choose Maine?
Well, my grandparents were Western Massachusetts in the Berkshires, and so I grew up enjoying snow and winter. You know, winter was just a neat thing for me. We don't have the kind of winters in Kentucky that we can enjoy skiing and things like that. So always dreamed of being a lot closer to skiing. And we had given Western Massachusetts a try, but it doesn't snow there like it used to. And there were some other things. And actually, we were travel nursing. My wife is now a family nurse practitioner and medical director of a community health clinic. But we had an assignment where she did the hospital in Augusta, worked at the hospital in Augusta, and we lived in the Livermore, Farmington area. And we were just struck by the people here. It's beautiful here, but I can still remember driving from, I guess, Portland-ish up to Livermore, and the cars stayed so far behind us. You know, you get used to people tailgating all the time, and we said, this is really interesting. And we just found that people were a little more settled here and less aggressive. Although we do see, you know, the closer to Portland you get, the more of that we see. But we love the beauty. We love the people. We wanted to be in a winter, have real winter, you know, area. And I was tired of the heat in Kentucky. I spent most of my life there. So, but both my parents were from the north. So we were glad to get back to the north.
Well, Mark, I'm very happy that you're happy here, and I appreciate, and I know that the community where you live is very happy to have your wife running a community health clinic, so one of those jobs that is so difficult to fill. Thank you so much for calling. Mark Williams moved to Lovell from Kentucky. We are going to go up to Appleton and Steve. Hi, Steve. Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, my partner and I just moved here this time last year to Appleton from West Lafayette, Indiana, home of Purdue University. And actually, the other program, they had Chris Jensen, the mayor of Noblesville. So we're not too far from where that gentleman is from. But the reason why we were coming here was because we had vacationed a handful of times. And one of the things that was just real disheartening about my experience in the Midwest was trying to get a homestead settled and just a lack of respect or no progress on preserving the natural beauty of things. It seemed that the way to do things out there was to pave and make new plazas and gas stations and with no real plan about nature or preservation of nature. And it was encroaching closer and closer to our home there. Just as a kind of a personal, and you know, we had lived in our previous home for about a decade or so. And over that decade, we lost our view of the Milky Way. And it was just so sad to see that go because of the sky glow from that. Whereas Maine, on the other hand, you know, just passed dark sky legislation. And it just goes to, you know, just goes to show what Maine's trying to do versus where we were. Indiana was in the process of eliminating or reducing wetland protections. Trees were getting bulldozed over for progress, which isn't the problem. But, you know, there just wasn't a good plan to do that with a balance with nature and what they had left, because it's mostly flat and cornfields and soybean fields out there. So that's one of the reasons why we lived it here.
I really appreciate you calling and sharing your reasons. Steve now lives in Appleton and came here from Indiana. Let's see. We'll go out to Buxton and Jonathan. Hi, Jonathan. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was a boomerang. I'm originally from Central Maine and moved to D.C. for 15 years. And when my wife and I, who's from Buxton, came back, I didn't notice, the sense of community that you get growing up and living in Maine, where you know your neighbor, you want to know your neighbor, you know your mailman, you know, your teacher was also your mom's teacher. It's just different. And I've lived in smaller cities throughout the U.S., and I'm willing to argue that Maine has more pride altogether, especially the rural places, in their community because of the environment, because of our beautiful landscape. They pick up their trash. We pick up our trash. We help our neighbor when they're in need. In metropolitan places, especially currently, everybody isolates. There's so many people, but everybody, doesn't talk to their neighbor. There's Little League and 4th of July parades and all that great stuff is one of the reasons why I think we, the boomerangs, want to come back when it's time to raise a family.
Yeah, and Jonathan, would you say you're happy? It sounds like you're pretty happy with your decision.
Yes, I am, and I got to say, when I moved away, all of the reasons why I wanted to move out were the exact reasons why I wanted to move back.
What do you mean by that?
Maine is too small, and I want to live where there's a subway, and can't get an Uber anywhere. There's at 10 o'clock in my hometown, everything closes, stuff like that. I've lived in right down in the middle of D.C. where, you have, people sleeping on your steps out front and go in the bathroom freely and just people don't care. They don't care as much. And it's because people stay here. Generations stay here because it's so great. So we don't want too many people to come here. I have to say that.
Smoke is like a real Mainer. Jonathan, thank you so much for calling in. Jonathan lives in Buxton now, grew up in Maine, but he lived in Washington, D.C. for a while in between. I'm detecting a theme here, if you will. Phoenix, earlier I asked you if there was a theme, but it's that people may choose Maine because of its natural beauty, but what they really love about Maine is their neighbors, the people.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, the views and the vision of Maine, I would say, bring you here, but that's more the community that'll help you stay.
We'll go to Onisha, who's calling from New Gloucester. Hi, Onisha, go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi.
Turn down your radio, thanks.
Yeah, I just did. I just wanted to call in and share my experience. I moved up here about 2.5 years ago for a teaching job and was drawn here for a number of reasons, including nature and obviously the job. And I just wanted to share, because I think a lot of the callers are having a particular experience that I haven't quite had, which is as a person of color, I've moved to 3 different places, and I'm actually quite happy where I've landed now. But it's been a challenge just culturally, especially, I first moved to very rural central Maine. And while I made some connections after some time, I think there are a number of us who move up here and just encounter some challenges when it comes to just culturally coming to be accepted and coming to find a place that feels welcoming. So I just felt like it was important to add that into the conversation.
I'm so glad you called. I'm so sorry to hear that that's your experience, but I'm so glad you called because, Katie, that's real. And what are your thoughts about in the next 45 seconds what we need to do and what you all need to do at Live and Work in Maine to change that?
Absolutely. I think that there are great examples, and I've heard this well from Lisa Jones, who runs Black Travel Maine, and she's acknowledged that, okay, if we're going to be encouraging people of color to move to Maine, we want to make sure that there's intentionality around welcoming folks into community. And I've seen these pop-ups specifically with women. There's a group called held and what they're trying to do with really trying to build community. I would turn it back to our caller to say, what would you want to see happen, and how could more people lean in? But it sounds like there needs to be some more dialogue around that.
Onisha, I hope you and Katie can connect after the show, because unfortunately we're out of time, and I so appreciate your comments. And I apologize to everybody who is still hanging on the phone. Clearly a very popular conversation today. And thank you to our guests, Phoenix McLaughlin, Director of Strategy Implementation for Maine's Department of Economic and Community Development, Shannon Richards, President of Maine Real Estate Developers Association, or MRIDA, and Katie Shorey, Director of Engagement for Live and Work in Maine. Today's sound engineer was Sandra Harris. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow on the program, we continue our series, Ready and Able, Living with a Disability in Maine. We're going to talk about assistive technology. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You have been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.